Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday School. I'm not a liar. I didn't intend to jump immediately in without any review, like I said I was going to do last time. But we're going to cover just a couple little tiny bits of review, because it's been 5 months since we last talked. Remember I asked you to hang on to these? You still have these? All right. Well, I put a stash under the pulpit here just in case, and they were all gone but one. There's one sitting next to our brother right here. If you want to do copies, I guess you could. Yeah, real quick, if you don't mind. Who actually needs one? Who doesn't have one of these? We got one. Anybody else? Just one copy? Everyone else got two? Three copies? Everyone else got theirs? Great. So you guys can kind of share if we get to them before he gets back with the copies. That'll be great. I'm sorry about that because I just noticed that they weren't under here right before I'm preaching. So let's do a very, very quick little review. Proverbs, of course, chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 8 today, but I just want to read through 5, 6, and 7 very quickly, which say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And I have throughout my Bible several verses like this that are marked that it says spiritual battle verse right next to it. So when I get in a lot of trouble, I'll go to these verses right away. They're like my quick hits to realign me back again. But the quick overview of this is your fear is in the Lord. Your trust is in the Lord, and it can't be in yourself if it's in the Lord. So it's almost a no-brainer when he says, don't lean on your own understanding. Well, of course, I wouldn't be doing that. If I was 100% trust in the Lord and my fear was of the Lord, I wouldn't even look to myself for anything except for obedience. And I would be thankful that he's in control of everything, because I just make a mess of my life when I'm in control. So he's doing all that is the preface to set us up for our verse in verse 8, where it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So we do have at least one Hebrew student in here, so I won't go too deep into it, but if you've ever said to yourself, what's the Lord's will for my life? What does he want me to do? Anytime you see this kind of Hebrew construct, he's telling you, when it says, it shall be, that's what's called a third-person justice of volition. That's for the Hebrew folks. The rest of you, what it means is, this is God's will for your life. This is what he wants. This is what he is ready to do and partner with you to see happen in your life. Notice I said partner. He's not going to force this on you. It's a choice. As we saw, remember the if-thens of chapter 2. All of this was, I want you to do this. If you do this, I will be here with you. I will do that. I'm standing right by you, but you need to be the one to say, Father, Abba, please. The previous three verses are, fear me, trust me, don't lean on yourself, lean on me. Why? I have a will for your life. I have things that I want to see done. I have a way that I want to be in a special relationship with you. And verse 8, you've heard me say this probably about every verse that I've preached through Proverbs, but captivated me, drew me in, kept me going down research rabbit holes for forever and forever and forever, and surely these are the unsearchable riches of the Lord. There's just, you could stay on one verse and just preach that for your whole life, you know? But we're going to dig in a little bit on this one as well. Thank you for doing that, brother. I appreciate that. So, if we have an idea of what God's will is for our life, that should become our desire. It should become what we responsibly decide to do to follow him, to see his will done in our life. We touched on this a little bit at the end of last class, so I have a little liberty, I think, to breeze through this to get to what I want to get to today, since we started a little late. Health to thy navel. What's the navel? Where is it? Everybody can point right to it. It's right here, right? You've either got an innie or an outie, depending on what the Lord decided. It is the lifeline. When you're a child, it supplies anything and everything you need. It gives you oxygen. Without it, if you did not have a connection to your mother, be no life. It is the source of sustenance and vitality. You are completely and totally dependent on it. Okay? We were that way when we started. We should be that way when we finish. Okay? Now, when the text here says, health to thy navel, it's actually suggesting a restoration and a strengthening of your core energy, because we're not constant, we're not God. We dip, we get spiritually and physically weak, and we need to be re-strengthened. That's why we have to eat every day. That's why we have to constantly be asking to be filled with the Spirit. Are you 100% filled with the Spirit all the time? Of course you're not. Neither am I. It's amazing what God's general revelation teaches us. And if you just pause for a moment and just think, every single thing that he created, everything, was to teach us more about him. How many lessons do we walk by and miss a day? Because we don't pause. We're not still. We don't know the Lord. We don't see the Lord in every little thing that's out there. I mean, he's got so many little love letters to us, trying to woo us to get our attention back with everything. I had a brother who gave me a bump when I went down to sit down to pray. You know, every little tiny thing. Why did God's creation do that to me just then? My brother's a created being. He bumped me. Why? Because the love of the Lord and the joy and the unity we have around Scripture prompted him to. And I know his gift isn't necessarily on the emotional side. It was pure joy of seeing a brother in the Lord. General revelation. Man, I may have come in a little down today, and that one little bump may have been all I needed to spiritually revitalize and lift me back up and refresh me to be ready to serve. Okay? That's what we're to be to each other. So, in our context here, the navel is spiritual and physical well-being at your core. At your core. Where everything else comes from. So, the idea is that God's wisdom here is going to nourish you deeply and completely. On your handout, as you'll go to this page here, it's a very teeny tiny little brief look at some of the scripture which talk about wisdom as health to thy navel. I just picked some of my favorites, but I want to go through these to drive this point home, because we're going to look at two things today, really, that are... It's necessary to see both of them working together and why the Lord put them together here in our verse 8. So, this will save us from flipping our pages. I've printed all the verses out for you. Deuteronomy 8:3. Everyone knows this. Our 4-year-olds know this, right? Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So you can see on the chart, the first column is the verse. The next column is the spiritual principle that it's trying to teach. And then we can see the navel and the umbilical imagery connection in the final column. So in our verse, God's word is true sustenance for life. What do you need for life? The Bible. Let's take all of life and put it in a thesis statement. What do I need to get through this life? The Bible. That's it. It's everything. It's all. It's complete. It's all you need. All your answers are there. You know, you got a question. You're not sure what to do. The answer is there. Wisdom is there. God giveth liberally. He's crying in the streets, as he said. Well, like the umbilical cord in the womb, God's word provides the essential nourishment our souls need. Souls, the totality, the physical, the spiritual side of you. We don't live by bread alone, of course not, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. That's how we live. Job 23:12, I esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wisdom is more vital than physical food. You ever thought about that? I don't know if any of you have ever, I won't say been hungry, but been starving. There's a lot of desperation that comes around there. When you don't know where that next meal's coming from, if you don't get that rabbit out in the field and the family goes hungry, my family survived off our hunting and fishing skills for a while. It's desperation. You desperately want to know, where's that next meal coming from? Your whole focus turns right to that. Well, why aren't we that way spiritually with the Word of God? I don't remember, we had a brother this morning pray that we look forward. We're excited to come to church. We should be desperate to be here. We should be desperate to open this. We should be desperate to hear what has the Holy Spirit given the men preaching behind the pulpit and our pastor for us. That's what we need. That's what we need. It's our next meal. The umbilical cord delivers what is truly life-sustaining, paralleling how God's word feeds the spirit. Proverbs 4:20 and 22 through 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The context of this is obedience to God's wisdom brings life and health. So life flows from where? We talked about it just a second ago, the spiritual core, just as nourishment flows from the navel to the womb. I tried to do a lot of Proverbs in here since we're in Proverbs. Proverbs 8:35, and these verses, I hope, are familiar to you as we go through them. You're going to go, oh. Every time you read a verse, it should teach you what it has already taught you and reaffirm it, but hopefully you're going to get something new from it each time because God's word doesn't return void. So it's going to be nudging you, even if you don't see it, or teaching you or coaching you in some way. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Finding wisdom is finding life itself. Do you ever think about that? Finding wisdom, finding the wisdom of the Bible, the wisdom of Christ, of course, it's life itself. Connection to wisdom is like an unbroken cord right to the source of life. You're plugged right in, right into the scripture. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. This is talking about inner peace that produces that outward vitality, that outward life. A spiritually healthy center sustains the whole being, as the navel once did in the womb. You know that when you're walking with the Lord and you actually had no real peace, right? Not the manufactured, I can get through this peace, where I don't need to get through this. I'm not part of the equation. The Lord's got it. Whatever happens, oh, I lost my job. Amen. Where's my next witnessing field? Where am I going next? Right? That's true peace. You're now depending on the words of God, the promise of God, that he's, oh, you need to pay your bills? Well, God's the one that gave you the bills. He needs to give you the money to pay it. He says, you need to work. He'll give you the job. May not be on our timing, but he'll give you the job. He may take you down to, like he did to me, 1.4 cents in the checking account, but whoop! But then it came back up. I didn't. You keep tithing, you keep doing what he says, and he takes care of you. Psalm 119.93, I will never forget thy precepts, another word for the words of God in Psalms, for with them thou hast quickened me. God's word revives and sustains life. Again, with the umbilical cord analogy, it's a continual connection that keeps life flowing. I picture a brother that takes care of the yard work out here. He's got the hose. He's got a continual flow until he disconnects the hose. Then everything's going to die. Don't disconnect the hose. Isaiah 58:11. Thou shalt be like a watered garden. I didn't plan that. I just realized that was next in the order here. That was good. And like a spring of water whose waters shall not, waters fail not. God's wisdom continually replenishes inner life. Like constant nourishment in the womb, God's wisdom keeps the soul fertile and thriving. So if you've ever tended a garden, I mean, my family, we did that. All the kids were little garden slaves. We had 2 acres and an acre was garden. And father said, we have you for a reason. Get out there and till the ground. We were out there with our hands, you know. We hated it. We loved it when the rhubarb came up and we were snacking. Only half of it ever made it into the house and things like that. But you have to nurture it. It has to grow. We don't grow ourselves. We are part of the process of sanctification, but we're not the end result. We're not the cause of it. It's only when we plug in, listen, obey, that God takes us to the next step and takes us to, and we're ready. And anytime we're our biggest setbacks. Anytime we disconnect from Scripture, then thank goodness the Lord is long-suffering. He doesn't go, okay, let's start over. Here we go. Let's get them back to where they were last week, and then we can continue on. He knows. He knows already. He's just always there, always faithful, anytime we want to plug back in again. Jeremiah 17:7-8. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Oh, there's a purpose. We're not just simply to be. That's not us. We are here to have fruit. We're here to show the Lord. Well, you can't give what you don't have. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't encourage if you're not encouraged, right? Where does all that come from? None of it comes instinctively or naturally from us. It all comes from the Lord. All goodness comes from the Lord. Rootedness in God produces unending vitality. One of the things that I learned a long, long time ago when I was in my teens, you have to teach from your surplus. You can't wait till an hour before a lesson and start preparing. You will spiritually and mentally exhaust yourself. You need to be 8, 7, 8 lessons ahead. And you need to be constantly, so if something happens, you get sick, or someone totals your car, and you got to spend you don't need the time because you've already prepped for it out of your surplus. But if you're doing it out of what you just have, you're draining your ability to keep producing. Does that make sense? So, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Rooted in God produces unending vitality, and that deep connection parallels the unbroken lifeline of the navel. I know I'm going quick, and there's a lot of pretty cool stuff I'm hitting that we could spend a lot of time developing, but you guys can study for yourself too. Psalm 36:9, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy sight we shall see light. Who's the ultimate life source? In my mind, I can flash back to that moment that I actually accepted the Lord when I was saved. And I think about how, in my responsibility, I was the one that repented. I was the one that said, I need him. I don't know where to hook up my hose. He said, I got it right here. And he did it for me. And he said, now, you can't unhook my end, but you can unhook yours. So I'm going to keep teaching and talking and loving and feeding, and you could go like a baby, wah, I don't like that, wah, I don't like that. Spit it out, puke it up, and not take it. Well, that baby is not going to go too long before he gets so hungry he needs to eat something. And anybody can come along and feed him anything at that point, and he'll wolf it down. The world, your coworkers, you'll eat the poison. But if you're already sustained and there's no room for anything else to get in, you won't be taken by the world. You won't be taken by the false doctrines. You'll recognize them and go, oh, no, 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 no. That's pureed spinach. I ain't eating that. Nice try, Mom. She found a way to get it in me anyway. But. And finally, on our sheet here, John 15:4-5, as the branch cannot bear fruit, to go back to our constant abiding, constant fruit, except ye abide in me, for without me you can do, what's the next word? Nothing. Nothing of value, nothing of worth, nothing reward worthy. Oh, sure, we can do stuff. We can do a lot of stuff that we don't want to talk about at the judgment seat. This is talking about God-honoring things, the fruit which glorifies him. Remaining connected to Christ is essential for life. The branch, anytime you see the branch-vine analogy now in Scripture, the relationship mirrors the umbilical cord. Life flows only while the connection remains. You see all that? So, this is a fascinating, fascinating study when he says this. In Scripture, he constantly, constantly uses general revelation to teach us things. And because of Scripture, he's throwing it in with all of the spiritual truths right there. But I mentioned this, I think, twice already. The people that read this back in the day understood this. He's not going to write them something that they go, what? Why is he writing in Swahili? I don't understand what he's saying. No, it was for every man, every generation who had the capability of understanding this. The source of our spiritual strength is supposed to be the Lord and nothing else. That's every cup we sip from, every single time. And we fail more times than we succeed. You wonder why the Lord has to give us trials and challenges in our lives. Sometimes it's just to grow us. Sure, maybe we get a good one because we're actually filled with the Spirit, and those are the fun ones. But sometimes you got to agonizomai through everything and just try to get through it. So, in the Old Testament, where we are, the word for marrow here, shikui, is kind of a fun word. I don't know why it makes me think of American Indians when I hear shikui, but that's my gloss to remember it. Particularly in our verse, it comes from an idea of moisture. It comes from an idea of refreshment or to drink. That's what the root etymology behind the word means. So think about that for a minute. Moisture, nurturing, drinking. That's when you hear marrow, that's what the Lord is saying. in our case here, I'm jumping ahead of myself. So when this particular, when everywhere in Scripture, but in this particular case in chapter 3, verse 8, when it says, read it again, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I'm sorry, we're jumping into the marrow next. I forgot to tell you we're going to the marrow study now. So off of the navel, we're onto the marrow part of this. Apologies. It's this actually, what are the bones in the body? They're the structure. They're the support system. If you didn't have bones, what would you be? A little puddle of flesh and 75% liquid pooled up on the floor, right? The bones are the structure. The bones are what sustain. And if you notice here, it says, health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So we need to say, what is marrow and how does it relate to bones? Well, the same way that health relates to the navel. The skeletal structure is the physical core of your being. The navel is the spiritual core, right? And the bones are the physical core of your being. So when we use this in conjunction, we know, we've studied the constitution of man, we know that there are two parts to man, your physical or your spiritual. Spiritual, physical, and both are connected. So although they're two separate things, they're still one. That's what we see in Genesis 2:7. I have a verse that jumps out to me all the time, and I don't know if maybe you guys have thought about this the same, but if you go to Hebrews 4, the end of 3 is talking about salvation offered, and then chapter 4 says, because it was rejected, chapter 4 starts with, let us therefore fear. That'd be a great, we could just start every chapter, every verse in our life with that, right? Recognize who God is, keep him where he's supposed to be, us beneath him. So just let us fear in verse 1, but jump down to 12. We're going to read 12 and 13. Everybody knows this verse. I've heard men in here preach on this verse. For the word of God, there's our cord, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know all that, but watch this. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and... Anybody ever wondered what marrow meant there? Why is that in there? That one word always jumped out at me. There's two words that jumped out at me a lot that grabbed my attention in this verse. Okay, marrow. I understand every other thing that's here, but I got to go back to high school anatomy and college anatomy biology to figure out what marrow is again and why is this in here and why is it so important. Every word is critical in Scripture. I don't know enough about this. I got to go back and study it. The final word which jumps out at me, again, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Everything inside. But verse 13 comes after verse 12. Neither is there any creature, that's all of us, that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Boy, that one, when I studied this when I was doing my judgment seat teaching, this one was, I was cringing. And in the fear of the Lord. That last little bit there that says to do is logos. It's the complete word of Scripture. It's the entire body of sustenance, of nutrient that will come through the navel and the umbilical cord to go into your bones and nourish your marrow. What that one little word is saying is you're going to open up the full Bible with the Lord as a creature standing before him, and everything that you've done in your Christian life is manifest in his sight, and he's going to go, since I saved you, this was your guidebook. Let's see how you followed it. And then concomitant, you're going to give a testimony of your life, and he's going to give a testimony of your life to see if it lines up with Scripture, and he's going to say, my end was still plugged in. I had all truth, all power, all nourishment available for you. Why did you keep disconnecting from me? And we're going to suffer loss in our hearts when we realize how many times we did disconnect. And we didn't allow that sustenance and vitality to be the outpouring for his fruit, not ours. Not the fruit, quote unquote, of the world. There's a stinky. All right? So, marrow. It's right even here in this. What are we talking about? This is symbolizing the deepest parts of a person. The marrow is symbolizing the deepest parts of a person. And if you think about this broadly, God's word needs to penetrate through every aspect of you. Not a single bit of your vibrating DNA shouldn't be coated, saturated, and leaking this stuff into the world. Your light should be shining for everyone else to see. Okay? It penetrates your innermost core so that that's the only thing that can come out of you. I get beat up when I study this because I realize, if I'm honest, 5% of the time I'm in this state throughout a 24-hour period. Really? I mean, if we're honest. You try and you try and you fail and you fail, but you get more and more and more and more victory as life goes on. So the think of the marrow as something which is renewal. Think of it as almost like divine refreshment. It is that which is going to allow this to happen. It's going to be the seat of where it's all held. It's the place where God's power, life, and ability flows into man's fragility and allows us to be productive for the Lord. Okay? We just had to plug in batteries, right, for this thing right beforehand. The mic wasn't going to work without them. It's a very simple analogy, but it's the same thing. So, Job 21:24 says, "His breasts are full of milk, and his bones are moistened with marrow." Wait a minute. His bones are moistened with marrow. So it's important to understand physiologically that marrow doesn't literally water. It doesn't irrigate the bones. Okay? This is poetic language. And it's highlighting the life-giving role that marrow plays in the skeletal system. Got that solid structure, but it's being nourished. But the analogy here is just as water revitalizes and sustains a parched landscape, marrow nourishes and sustains the bones from within and gives them their strength, gives them their vitality. Is all your old biology classes coming back here, right? Should be 101, but do we ever think about that when we read these verses? Or do we just go, yep, marrow, something inside, got it, move on? No, this is critical. If you don't understand how your spiritual insides are supposed to work, you'll never be able to tune them up. I mean, I never had auto mechanics growing up, and I'm terrible with vehicles. I wish I had. I could maintain my car. Well, I'm not going to be like that with Scripture. I want to know every little nut and bolt and every little thing about it so that I can maintain. I have to maintain myself. It's my responsibility. In our verse, in 3:8, marrow to thy bones is using this metaphor to communicate these same exact truths. The blessing of God, every blessing of God, your membership here, the wife that God gave you, the children, the heritage that God gave you to be able to pass on and help them nurture and keep their lifeline sustained to the Word of God. All of these things are designed to nourish us, to strengthen us, to keep us constantly focused. I need God for this. Wow, I need God for that. I need God for this. I need God for that. I got six decisions, major decisions I need to make this week. Let me go figure out what I need to do. Failure. You've just failed the test. Right there. You've unplugged, whether you've known it or not. The thought shouldn't even come in our mind, what am I going to do? If you are filled with the Spirit, there's just no room. There's no room for that thought. It's just immediately, God. That shotgun prayer coming through the intersection, you see the three cars coming at you. You don't go, should I apply brake and put a torque on the left of the wheel? And you go, God, help! Right? That's your shotgun prayer. You should be that desperate about everything in your life. Really? If we're filled, it should be God. Not anything else. First word of your prayer is God. That's it. I think I know. I think I can figure out. So, let's take a minute. Oh, we're already out of time already, man. Let's look at the physiology of what we know about marrow. The bone marrow is actually inside our bones, and I want you to think of it like an internal orchard. Have you ever seen an apple orchard with just rows after rows of trees just growing apples, or any kind of tree, or any kind of fruit you can think of? It's constantly growing, constantly sending out fresh, sustaining cells and nutrients. So it's always revitalizing, recharging, energizing the bones, which is good, because if your bones get brittle, what happens? We all do this as life goes on, right? This is what we look like in our 80s. Your bones give up on you. Your spine gives up on you. We talked about this last time. Everyone's talking about their bending and aches and pains. Yeah. 5 points I want to make about the marrow. Let's talk about the red marrow first. This is the factory for blood cells. Red marrow is packed with stem cells that mature into the red blood cells. Why is that important? You like oxygen? These guys are going to give it to you. That's why that's important. Oxygen is kind of important for us to live and survive and thrive. Okay, why is Lord using marrow here? Why does he want us to study this? Well, go study what marrow is. Go study what marrow does for the body. That's what the Word of God needs to do for you. In the same way you need oxygen, you need the Word of God. In the plane, you put the mask on yourself first before you save anybody else. You see where this is going? I did this last time. I'm going to skim it. So if you want to go back and hear a more in-depth one on this, go back. White blood cells. Why are white blood cells important? You see a white blood cell? I see this. Ka-ching! The helmet comes down. The spear comes up. This isn't your home. Get out of here. Get out of here. Right? The white blood cells are like an immunization training ground. Row after row of white blood cells in array. Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. No. They maintain. They preserve. They are part of the immune system. They keep things the way it's supposed to be. They recognize and destroy pathogens. Spiritually, we recognize and destroy that friend that's trying to lead us astray. That co-worker who's throwing everything at us, including they brought the kitchen sink and their trunk to work, and that's coming at me? No. I recognize that. That's not part of me. You're not going to take that spiritual bad energy. That's kind of a challenging term there, but you get what I'm saying. It's their term, not ours, and affect my spirituality with it. It's not part of who I'm supposed to be. You keep that and you deal with it. You keep it. Clearly you're not a Christian, or you are, you're carnal, but that's not part of my makeup. And because I'm plugged in and I have the truth, I can identify it and go, nope, that's not godly. Nope, that's not Christian. I'm not making that decision. Kind of like way over in chapter 1, where they were taking the guys along to wait in blood for money. That guy wasn't plugged in when he went with them. He wasn't plugged in. Yellow marrow. As we age, since we're chuckling and laughing about aging here, the body actually turns the red marrow into yellow marrow. And it stores triglycerides and fat. It's basically like this huge energy reserve just waiting. And then in times when we need it, let's say that you do get T-boned, but it's a little worse than you think, and now you have to spend time in the hospital unconscious. It can convert that back to give you more energy. So you have a reserve. You're always teaching and preaching from your surplus. There's always more that can come out. You have a reserve of scripture in your mind. Sure, in a spiritual battle, you're supposed to very quickly, very precisely, with that rhema sword, go, shoom, here's the word of God, kill shot, boom, battle over. But I got more. I got more than one verse. I got 5 verses I could have used for this one conference. Okay, you want to keep talking? Here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another one. Boom, 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 boom. Marrow is the superhighway. It's not a little tiny curvy back road with roots and everything. It's a 4-lane superhighway which brings all the nutrients to the bone itself. It delivers oxygen like we talked about before, glucose, calcium, phosphate, and not only does it deliver, it takes away waste. It removes waste. If I can identify the truth of something and I embrace it, all my garbage is gone. Is put off the old man, put on the new man starting to come to mind here? Right? Old man's garbage. Old man's waste. We need to get that out of our spiritual bloodstream. We need to be oxygenated with the phosphate of purity, right? And all of the things which are, what happens to us. How do we think on all the things that are lovely and pure? There's no room for anything else, right? And the final thing that it does, the stem cells, it's used for repair. We get beat up. We get beat up. We have how many people have unsafe family? Everyone raises their hand, of course. Holidays are a challenge. You go over, there's people drinking at the party you're at. They know you don't drink, but it's there. The conversation is enough to challenge you. You feel your spiritual armor getting dinged and moved, and you're adjusting your helmet, you're adjusting your breastplate. Every conversation you have, this is war. and you're struggling, and sometimes you get hit. You're adjusting your armor this way, and your sibling comes from the other side and whacks you up back of the head that you don't see coming spiritually. You're like, oh, you know, now I got to repent for this. I just lost my temper. Whatever it is. I don't know. I'm making stuff up here. But you get what I'm saying. This is a reservoir of repair once you're plugged in here. God is, he's the great restorer. He's the great reverser. He's the great renewer. I mean, that's him. Not just in salvation, but in sanctification. We can never fall so far that he can't pull us back up to our feet. You can't be bad enough that Christ's work on the cross is ineffective. You may think so from time to time. But sanctification doesn't end because you and I make an oops. That's called repentance, forgiveness, move on. If you've ever wanted somebody in your life that will never give up on you no matter what, will never fail you no matter what, he's right there. This is what we're talking about, the navel, everything right into your bones, right into your marrow, flushed through and through. Need another 5 hours. Class is over, brother. I got 9 more pages on this one topic. So, I'm going to tell you again, don't lose this. Put this in the back of your Bible. We'll be covering page 2 next time. I think I will steal maybe just a minute to put this image in your head. I had something I was going to put on the board. I think it's good to see it now, and then we'll lock it in again next time. If we go back and we start at Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, which we did today, and in your mind's eye, I want you to see this diagram. We have the cause of everything that's going to happen, the process of how it's going to happen, then all the blessings that result. Cause, process, blessings. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 is talking about obedience and faithfulness. It's talking about trusting the Lord. It's talking about leaning not on your understanding. It's talking about acknowledging him in all your ways. Why? Because God has a will for you. God's will, his desire, is told to us in Proverbs 3:8, where it says, it shall be. He's saying, I really hope so. I really, really hope so. This is what I want for you. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. And what is that? That is just the blessing of health and vitality spiritually. The core life force, your spiritual vitality, your intimate relationship with the Lord is infused, it's nourished. And then the marrow to your bones, you have the strengthening of the body, which is also infused. People like to say and talk about holistic wellness. Western society and medicine tends to do it separately. Physical, body, psychological, sometimes they blend it. Eastern medicine is completely holistic. They understand mental and physical all when we're talking about the spirituality of a Christian. This is true holistic wellness that the Lord is saying. We talk about don't just show up in the seat, where's your heart? You're not holistically well. Oh yeah, you're here. Your bones are here. That's it. Right? So this is spiritual, emotional, physical, all of it. True holistic wellness. And none of it comes from us. That's the big pill to swallow today. None of it comes from us. So, next 5 months, whenever it is when we get to cover it again, hopefully you constantly keep looking down at your navel. You'll never look at a belly button the same way again. And you'll be like, yeah, I need to be plugged in. I mean, think about that general revelation. Next time you're changing your baby's diaper. There it is. There's my reminder right there. Oh, I need to make sure that I give her everything he needs to make sure they stay plugged in. That's my responsibility. But I can't teach what I don't know. I can't effectively teach what I don't practice. Imagine if you didn't have the experience and you're trying to teach somebody to throw a knuckleball. I can't. Well, what's it supposed to feel like? I don't know. How's it supposed to break? I don't know. Well, how am I supposed to learn this, Dad? Why don't you know? Why are you trying to teach me something you don't understand? Responsibility. Anyway. We'll get on to some more marrowology next time, and we'll tie it all together. All right, let's pray. Father, I am, in this moment, so very, very glad that you are outside of time, and that we, at some point, will be outside of time. And there'll never come a moment on any clock, in eternity, where we have to stop talking to you about Scripture. to stop studying your word, that we can just be bathed in this continually, nonstop. We are thankful for the time you gave us today. We're thankful for the assembly that you've given us, the members we have here, the faithfulness that we have. And we do pray that as we continue until you come back, until we hear come up hither, that you find us faithful in teaching forth the whole truth and the unsearchable riches of thy word. We pray that we do take advantage of the health that is always available to our navel, and that our bones are fully saturated with all the strength and all the sustenance we need to see you fully glorified in everything that we do. Thank you again for the time. In Jesus' name, amen.